It is time for another edition of Colts Neuro Chat, a Thursday podcast. I'm Jeremy. Per usual, I am joined by Robbie. And, well, the last podcast was titled In Shambles, Robbie. I'm going to title this one Still in Shambles after Atletico were dumped out of the Copa del Rey on Wednesday by Real Sociedad. Oh, the bleeding does not stop. This salt keeps getting poured into an open wound here with Atletico.
Yeah, and I think that's what, it's just getting worse and worse, and I think it's kind of funny, it's actually interesting the way that these things develop. At first it's kind of the people who watch Atletico say unnecessarily, or not unnecessarily, but really, really closely, where they're like, something's not right here. And then the slightly wider audience starts to kind of catch on, and now all of a sudden it's kind of like, it's fairly inevitable that this is a full-blown crisis we're talking about at the moment.
Unlike really any that we have experienced in 10 years of watching Diego Simeone's Atletico, there have been bumps in the road, there have been periods of poor form, there have been a couple seasons where Atletico didn't look like they were going to get into the top four, but they ended up doing that at the end of the season. This feels different, though, Robbie. At least to me, this feels like a genuine, as you said, a full-blown crisis that requires a lot of serious work just to get Atletico into the top four. They have been knocked out of the two domestic cup competitions in back-to-back games. Back-to-back games within the last 10 days. The domestic cups were supposed to salvage Atletico's season, given how it's gone in La Liga and how it may end up going in the Champions League. But instead, Atletico knocked out by Athletic in Saudi Arabia in the Supercopa there, and Real Sociedad with a clinical and controlling performance at Real Arena on Wednesday. Most of the headlines centered on Felipe Montero and his really, really poor performance in central defense. You could argue he had a hand in both goals conceded, but you know, this is not really anything new. This is not really surprising from Atletico. It's really bleak right now. The issues are just compounding one on top of the other, and it starts with the central defense.
Yeah, and it's something that you could never say about Atletico Madrid.
Never.
They might have played awful football. They might have lost, and they might have got hammered and whatever. But they always they died with their boots on. And I think we're watching right now is a team that isn't necessary. Like, I mean, Adnan Januzaj scored that first goal. Adnan Januzaj, I can't remember him ever scoring a headed goal. Maybe I'm completely missing a load of them, but I can't remember him ever being. Well, he's never in central positions enough to actually to score goals, but he's not good in the air. He's not like a brave, strong player in the air. He was surrounded by Atletico Madrid players last night, and he somehow found a way to leap over all of them. And I think that's just, I mean, we can talk about Simeone's tactics, which I'm sure we will, and they need to be criticised, but that's just a fairly basic thing. A ball in on top of your 6-yard box where you've got plenty of defenders around against a fairly lightweight winger, and you're coming out second best. That's it's unacceptable, really.
Yeah, just complete chaos, as it has been most of the season with Atletico's penalty area defending. Like, all three of Felipe, Verselco, Angel Correa are in the vicinity. Any one of them can really knock down this ball and clear it. Atletico had grown into the game. This was a period in the game where Atletico were playing better. They weren't on top, but they were improving. They looked like Yannick Carrasco had just hit the post a few minutes earlier. They had started to improve a bit, and it's yet another gut punch because of really nonsensical defending. Just concentration, focus issues once again rearing their heads. Just incredible.
Yeah. And not to, well, we've already labored the point, there's no point in saying that, but to further labor the point, it just stems from a general uncertainty around the team and how they're trying to play and who they are and what they're trying to do, and their positions within what they're trying to do and their ability to do what they're being asked to do. And yeah, it's a proper mess. which has been a good few months in the making, really. And it's a question now of how bad does this get? How much does Simeone have left in him? Is he able to turn this around to end in the season in a respectable fashion? Because teams like Sevilla, Real Betis, Barcelona, there's four teams. Now I would maybe question Betis's ability to kind of to get over the end finish line, because they haven't been here before. But Sevilla, Real Madrid, and Barcelona are three teams, provided Xavi does kind of knock a tune out of that Barcelona squad. There's three teams in the top four, and then you're looking at Betis, maybe Villarreal. Like you said at the start, it's really not a foregone conclusion here that Atletico are playing the Champions League next year, which makes a rebuild even harder.
Yeah, I was thinking about that quite a bit yesterday. Is that in La Liga's top four race, Madrid and Sevilla are going to finish 1-2 in some order. It's probably going to be Madrid winning the league, but you have Madrid and Sevilla, you have Betis, La Real, Villarreal, Barcelona, possibly even Valencia. Valencia beat Atletico this weekend. Valencia are right in the thick of the race. So you've got, what, five teams fighting for two places? And Atletico may have the most pure talent of any of those teams when you just look at the names and look at what some of these players have accomplished. But Atletico don't have a clear idea of how to play. And Atletico don't have strength and depth. All those other teams do, more or less all of them do. Like, I think Betis have a real shot because they are very clear on how they want to play, and they have two of the most informed midfielders in La Liga, in Canales and Fekir.
And just take a second here to wax lyrical about Sergio Canales, because he is absolutely world class, and it is such a pity that he never kind of got a proper run when he was 26, 27, because he is world class, like, so good, and he actually might be just hitting his prime right now. And if he can stay fit, and if Nabil Fekir adds a little bit of his kind of magic sauce to the mixture, Real Betis are like, and Pellegrini there, he has had he has the experience of winning with a team. Now, you know, the question is whether they kind of have the peripheral talent to get over the line. But in terms of star talent, style, manager, Real Betis are right there.
Absolutely.
Atletico, just back to the point about Atletico struggling, not knowing who they are, I don't really trust in Simeone to kind of pull it out here and pull it out of the fire and change and develop the style that's going to be needed to take them over the line. So it's kind of like, this is what you're going to get from Atletico. Now, they can fix the defensive mistakes, fair enough, but it's still going to be touch and go here.
I'm not even sure if they can fix the defensive mistakes. Jimenez and Savage have been out for half the year, and just the second goal yesterday, Simeone looked like a guy who is just completely out of ideas and solutions on how to solve this team's defensive errors when they are self-inflicted to this degree. I mean, I don't understand what Felipe is doing, just dribbling the ball around the halfway line. On one hand, I respect the confidence. On the other hand, it's just utter madness to give away the ball in that position. And the camera panning to Simeone, just throwing his arms up like, what are you doing? Like, that's a guy who strikes me as, you know, we're in the middle of January, there's still a bunch of season to go, but he looks like he's tried as much as he can to get this team to play the football he wants them to play, but there's a clear miscommunication. Like, the players are not responding. They continue to make the same kind of amateurish mistakes each game, and they're not enjoying themselves. Simeone's not enjoying it. It's just awful.
Yeah, and it was, when you look back at that goal, the second goal, Felipe, it was a really good press from Real Sociedad. Sorloth and Oyarzabal just pressed. It was a perfect pressing trap. Felipe made the mistake, but it's just, And I know it's 80% Felipe, maybe even more. And it, but there's also that underlying thing of like, what do they know what they're trying to do? This is the question. I don't think that they do. And yeah, they're being asked to do things that they're not comfortable doing. I don't know what to say, man. I just hope that this doesn't. I hope that Atletico don't like drop back down to where they were pre Simeone, because this could get like pretty bad here. Now they've also got the squad and the ability to buy players and stuff with being in Champions League. But if they don't make that, like, where does this kind of spiral end? We're in trouble here in the way that we're talking, because we can analyze, and I suppose this is an apology to our listeners, because we can analyze the situation right now, and it's just so negative, and I'm sure people are kind of tired of us be talking about how negative it is, but at the same time, we can't really talk as if, oh, well, next year or like a new manager, because it's assuming that Simeone isn't going to continue, and I think that's kind of not that Simeone is listening to our podcast, but like it's kind of disrespectful to what he's done for the club, and like, you know.
And I think what's wrong just goes beyond making one or two signings in January. This requires something more exhaustive. This requires something more extensive that needs a summer or even an entire season, especially if Atletico don't get top four, to really firmly fix. And it also comes down to whether Simeone feels that his race has run. He's signed a new contract over the summer to 2024, but who could have foreseen this disaster of a season coming? Like, that contract was signed with the idea that Atletico were going to seriously compete for silverware this year, the year after, etc. Now that timeline is thrown completely out the window. You have a core of players who helped win La Liga last year and whose level their levels have just dropped off completely. And we're going to talk about a few of those players in a new segment coming up soon. But I guess one positive from Wednesday was Javi Serrano coming on for 15 minutes and playing pretty well. I think that one of the priorities for the rest of the season should be seeing what is there from Atletico B. Javi Serrano looks like he could be a pretty interesting young prospect, a 19-year-old midfielder with a bunch of energy and a bunch of activity. That's a guy who could be needed in a midfield yesterday that just played so slowly. Koke, Herrera, DePaul. I know Cholo was light of options with the injuries. Oh, the injuries. But that's a midfield that even by Spanish football standards is pretty easy to go around. Like, let alone teams in Europe in the Champions League will rip that midfield to shreds. And but even in Spain, it's not good enough anymore.
Yeah, and I've got a little trivia quiz for you here, Jeremy. Which team in La Liga has given the most debuts to players this season, and how many?
The most debuts, I would say Barca.
Yeah, no, Barca is second with 13.
Oh.
Yeah, and Rayo are first, would you believe, with 17, which makes sense because they're a team coming up from Segunda, and there's a lot of kind of older players making their debuts in La Liga. But who is the team with fewest debuts this season, and how many?
Fewest debuts, I'd say Atletico would have to be down there. Carlos Martin would be one. I think Serrano made his league debut, so it would be one or two for Atletico, and I'd say they've probably given the least amount of debuts.
Yeah, it's two, and you're right, it is. It's Atletico. It's two.
Oh.
Carlos Martin, and I checked who the other one is. But yeah, I was just doing a piece on this and kind of looking at it, and I just think that if it's kind of a part of the broader analysis of Simeone right now at Atletico and who Atletico are trying to be, and that are they a team that for the next 6 months do you kind of see what you've got with some of those youngsters, or do you just say, I don't think Simeone is going to change now. He's not the kind of manager who gives young players chances. So do you like, what are they? Oh, yes, and the second one is Mateus Cunha, who's a signing anyway, so it's not even an academy player. But, yeah, so, I mean, if Simeone isn't getting results, which is what he kind of builds his whole thing on, I don't care about how we play, I want results. If he's not getting results and he's not playing young players, and, like, I mean, what is he offering?
Then he's legitimately becoming a new Mourinho, if that's what happens. If he's not bringing in young players, if the club continues to sign expensive older players, academy players don't get a chance, and the style of play doesn't change, it's still results-oriented, then Simeone literally does become a new Mourinho, which is not what you want to hear in 2022.
And if they're not even playing exciting football, so...
Which they're not.
No, exactly, but I do appreciate there is some really proper hardcore Atletico Madrid fans who are with Simeone till the death, and I respect that for what he's done, and I get that it's a kind of a principle at this point rather than any kind of logic, but I do appreciate that, and I do think that he deserves to go out. If he does decide to leave at the end of the season, I mean, and he is alleged to have said that numerous times in this podcast, and I think it doesn't even need to be said again. But how we know what Diego Simeone is for Atletico and who he is and what he's done for the club. But it's just at this point now, it's kind of like it feels like he stayed just a year too long, maybe. And it was trending in this direction too. I know it's harsh when you judge a team after they've won La Liga and say, oh, maybe they didn't deserve it or anything. But the truth is, Atletico won La Liga last season by default. Like, Real Madrid collapsed, Barcelona collapsed, losing to Granada. You know, it wasn't good from Atletico. They got over the line, and they did. They deserve credit for that, but...
Sure.
I don't know, like any other year, they're not winning that league.
Other years, yeah. They won La Liga probably 80% on the strength of their first half of the season when they won 16 of 19 games. In the second half of the season, they were playing at, what, a 70-point pace, 72-point pace? That would not have been good enough to win the league. That would have been good enough to probably finish third or fourth. But because they got off to such a great start, they were able to carry that momentum just long enough to win the final three games, hold off Madrid, and win La Liga. And it was great. It's one of the most challenging league seasons ever, given the pandemic and no fans in the stands. And it's a tremendous accomplishment. Winning not one but two leagues under Diego Simeone is a huge deal in an era where Madrid and Barcelona are behemoths. But, yeah, it's certainly looking like last year was the last hurrah, you know, that... Did Simeone stay a year too long? Maybe, maybe not. The club is certainly not eager to see him go, even if some fans might be. Who knows if some of the players are or are not. But the players certainly aren't responding as if with the intensity needed, as if they want to keep Simeone around. Like, Wednesday's performance was just the latest in a list of really kind of soulless and heartless performances from Atletico. And a team that under Simeone has... thrived so much on being the underdog, on showing great intensity and character and drive, composure and teamwork, all those qualities that they had in abundance for years are now gone. And that is an indictment on Simeone for not being able to successfully transfer those values to this new group of players. And it's also on the players and on the recruitment strategy for not bringing in players who fit Simeone's style, his philosophy, his methods, his plan. And Mario Hermoso, after the game yesterday, is talking to Spanish radio about the refereeing when he was one of the worst performers on the pitch. Like, that's just a fair loser, or a sore loser, rather. That's losing, winning sorely and losing poorly, you know? Those aren't Simeone values. Those aren't Cholismo values.
But this team is... miles away from a Diego Simeone team, and thing that makes it look and feel like a Diego Simeone team is the fact that he's on the sideline. If he wasn't on the sideline, you wouldn't be like, oh yeah, that's a real Atletico Madrid performance. Nothing like anything that we think and expect from Atletico under him in the past.
It's really just I can't recall, maybe Chelsea a few years ago when they won the league under Mourinho and then sacked him the next year, but I can't really recall a team and a title defense that has languished to this degree just a year after winning the title, just with mostly the same players in place. Like, I don't know, was Saul Niguez this important to this team? Yeah. That his departure kind of just everything went up in smoke after that?
I think that, yeah. I don't know, man. I think Saul was kind of like a harbinger for what was to come, because what happened to him? I know he was kind of suffering with, he admitted to suffering with his mental health stuff, but
yeah,
I mean, he was world class. He was brilliant for a time. And how can you just go that far back and he was given a good year or so to kind of fix it. I wonder, like, is that on the coach? I don't know. Like, it's going to be a complete rebuild here if Simeone comes in, and it's going to be fascinating to see just what direction they go and what kind of even coaches they're linked with, because it's 10 years at a club is such a long time now in modern football, and I think that Simeone, that was his team, and we can't say for sure this is the end of it, but it really is starting to look like that. It
really does look like it's coming to the end of the road this time. And the 2019-20 season, I had kind of similar thoughts, but Atletico were able to turn it around after the hiatus due to the pandemic. But I don't really see. The players are not responding. This is like a dead team. One of the papers today, either Marca or AS, said that this was rock bottom, toca fondo for Atletico, and I'm inclined to agree. On one hand, you can argue there is only one way to go up, but on the other, maybe we haven't seen the worst of it. We have teams competing with Atletico in La Liga for a place in the top four that all know themselves better than Atletico do. It's a team that is not responding to the coach, a coach who cannot reach the players. You got to wonder how things are in the dressing room. Atletico have lost 10 times this year already. They haven't lost more than 11 times in any other previous season under Simeone. If you want one stat that encompasses where Atletico are right now in the Simeone era, it's that one.
Yeah. And, on the question now is, it would take a complete and utter collapse from Atletico to sack Simeone or anything like that. But how bad can it get here? I mean,
you want to really dive into the abyss?
I was just wondering, and I said on the last podcast about how maybe if Simeone came out and said, like, this is my last season, it might unite them or anything. But the problem is, say, for example, like with someone like Tuchel at Chelsea, say, now he obviously doesn't have the kind of standing at Chelsea as Simeone has at Atletico.
Right.
But someone like Tuchel, they're not playing well right now, fair enough. But they have the tools and they have the kind of footballing philosophy to play well. So it's just a matter of kind of sticking with it. And, if they were completely averse to sacking him. Likewise, if someone like Pep or someone like that, or Klopp, I mean, they're playing the right style to get results. The problem with Simeone is they don't even have those tools to just keep the head down and keep working and the results will come. Like, it's do you batten down the hatches and just try to kind of draw your way to into Champions League football? Because that would just be complete and utter defeat at that point, wouldn't it?
I think they tried that a couple months ago. Like, Atleti tried that a couple months ago after the Valencia game. There were a few games where they reverted to that battling, rigid, like, non-offensive 4-4-2. It got a couple results, but then swiftly backfired, and now there's really no tactical plan. Like yesterday, Atletico came out in some kind of 4-4-2, and midway through the second half, I kind of lost track of what the formation or the plan was. When Cunha came on, when Lemar came on to sort of play as a left back, okay. Suarez came on, and Serrano and Carlos Martin at the end. But I really kind of lost track of the tack of what Simeone was trying to do. Just throw on all your attacking players and hope for the best, which is not a tried and true or sustainable strategy. I mean, it's also not sustainable to be playing Felipe and Hermoso in the same team.
Yeah, and previously, I do feel for Simeone because it is he is having to play players that he just doesn't really rate. I guess like Sime Versalco, you'd want to have some seriously good your confidence would want to be fairly high to have been basically told by Simeone, I don't rate you, like I don't want you, and all of a sudden to be kind of drafted in and having to play, like it must be strange playing for a manager who you kind of know at the end of the day doesn't really want you to play.
But he's playing you out of, because he has no other solution.
Pure necessity, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's rough going. And Felipe probably knows that himself as well. He's like, look, any other team here and I'm gone, like, realistically.
Yeah, no wonder he wants to renew his contract. He knows the opportunity here.
But he knows there's no one there to kind of replace him, and usually a manager will take him off. And this is probably why you do need to play some of the young lads, like the likes of kind of Javi Serrano or someone like that, and kind of just that unbridled enthusiasm to go and make something happen, whereas a lot of the Atletico players playing right now are just pure fear. And like what happened to Felipe last night with that ball was just pure fear. He was just so afraid that he knew he was going to make a mistake. He knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, when you're afraid you're going to make a mistake, you will make a mistake.
Exactly, yeah, and that's exactly how it works. And that's why kind of young lads, if you bring in a couple of young lads there and play them, just, you know, it gives the team a little bit of a boost. And they're also playing, they're not wise enough yet. They haven't been hurt enough yet, Jeremy, to feel that fear. They don't know what hurt is yet. So like, I mean, you play a couple of 18-19 and they're just kind of completely innocent to how bad it can get, and they just go out and play like they're kids. And I think that's probably what's needed at the moment, but I can't really see Simeone doing that or listening to anyone telling him to do it.
I mean, we're chuckling at that, but it's true. Like a guy like Serrano comes on yesterday, he literally played with no fear. Like he made the crunching tackle on Yata's eye that Simeone was kind of in raptures over on the touchline, ferociously applauding. Ibrahim Kamara, a teenage center back with the B team, could also be an option given the lack of real solid contributors in central defense, and Atletico likely aren't going to go to the market to buy one this January. But Carlos Martin as well has been scoring goals for the B team. Simeone's kid has been scoring a lot of goals for the B team as well. Like, these are guys who should not only be in match day squads, but I know the team has to make top four. Like, that is a club target every year, to get top four to remain financially viable. But on the other hand, these are kids who have not been like infected with the fear virus that is coursing its way through the first team's veins. Like, these are kids who can come on and play without any fear of reprisal or rapprochement, and perhaps can drive the team forward. Like, what else is there? This is a squad with 22 players anyway, very few of whom are really pulling their weight this season. Why not turn to the kids? Why not? Like, I know you need to make top four, but they can legitimately help you if put into the right positions.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'd be pushing for. And if Simeone was properly pragmatic now, he would be starting a couple of those players. Mm. Like, it's actually a massive shame that we don't we don't even talk about youngsters on the podcast, like, because it's just like they're not going to play, and even if they do play, it will be out of pure necessity, and it'll be a once off in a Copa game, and they'll be so afraid of making a mistake and making an impact that they'll just freeze. Whereas if you just tell them, go and play, you're going to play for the next 6 months, you're going to get time, just go and play. and you get a response from them. But this is the kind of conundrum we find ourselves in, because I don't think Simeone's going to do that.
Well, in that vein, Robbie, let's shift gears a little bit to a new segment we're calling Star, Starter, or Sell. I'm going to name a few players, and we're going to debate whether they are indisputable top flight players you need to keep at all costs. Guys who, that's the star category, the starter category, guys who should be in the 11 most weeks, but you can make a case for potentially selling high on them. And then the sell category, kind of self-explanatory. These are guys who probably shouldn't be on the team next year. So a few names that I think are probably borderline as Atletico look to once again rebuild the team next summer. Renan Lodi is the first name here. Lodi, in his third season at Atletico, clearly a very offensively talented left back, but he is rather limited. He has not really demonstrated since his first season that he is capable of holding down the left back position for an elite European team, but he's also still really young and he has a lot of attacking flair. Is he a star, starter, or a sale candidate, Robbie?
Yeah, I think I'd sell him, but the problem is that if you were just looking at purely whether he is good enough for Atletico, I would say sell. The problem then is, or the next step in the evaluation is, how much money are you going to get for him? Given the fact that you paid 20 million or something for him.
Yeah.
And yeah, are you going to get that back from him? And who are you going to replace him with? But in reality, what we've seen from him, I think, yeah, he would be the kind of player who I'd be comfortable selling. And being able to replace with someone cheaper and more solid defensively. But then, yeah, it depends on who the manager is going to be. But yeah, I'll go sell on that one. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a few of these do depend on who the manager is going to be. Lodi turns 24 in April. He's in the middle of, I think, a six-year contract. He's still young. Defenders sometimes take more time to develop than attacking midfielders or forwards. But Lodi has really shown very little growth in three seasons. In 2019-20, his first season here, he was one of the best left backs in La Liga, but he's never shown that he can play in any system that isn't a 4-4-2, where in Simeone's 4-4-2, the fullbacks get a lot of touches. Lodi and Trippier used to get a lot of touches when Atletico were playing that formation. Lodi has never shown really any capacity in more than 100 appearances now, 101 appearances, to consistently contribute to the team outside of that one formation and that one role. So I wouldn't like it. I'd probably loan with an obligation to buy, which equates to sell.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of reminds me a little bit of a kind of like a Nelson Semedo or someone who kind of started well and looks half decent.
Sure.
You could probably get a good price for him from a Premier League team.
Yeah, Atletico would probably make a profit on Lodi. This is a guy who could go for 30, 40 million. To England.
Yeah. Yeah, given his age and given his kind of ability to play wing back or seeming ability to play wing back, I think you probably could get that from Atletico. I've been quite good at turning those kind of players into 20, 30, 40 million players with selling to Premier League clubs and things like that. Mm. So, yeah, maybe, but his season has been really poor and he just looked really jittery right now. As far as what I can see,
his defensive ability isn't anything to write home about, and he's not playing consistent minutes. That strikes me as someone who should be on, at least on loan, getting minutes so Atletico can see what they really have here. So that's Lodi. Thomas Lemar is next up. Now, Lemar has been one of Atletico's best players this season, as he was last year. I think he's one of the maybe two or three guys on this team this year that you can genuinely say has taken a step forward. He's also out of contract next year in 2023. So he's out of contract in 18 months. Renewal talks seem to be going pretty well, but nothing's been officialized, confirmed yet, finalized, etc. And Atletico have an overbooking, quote-unquote, of players like this in the midfield. You have Koke, Depaul, Llorente. Correa can play as a winger. Lemar offers something different. Carrasco, too. I mean, Lemar offers something different. He's a very creative player and probably the team's best dribbler. But with a year and a half to go on his contract, what would you do? Star, starter, or sell?
I'd say he's a starter. He has shown star quality throughout the last maybe 18 months. But that's probably on the higher end of what he can do. So, but I think he could definitely contribute to a good side, and I think he's got the willingness and the fight, and we've seen that definitely. You probably wouldn't get, what age is he now? 27?
26.
26 only, yeah. Like, I mean, I'd say, yeah, starter slash very, very close to becoming to being a star if you got the right manager who believed in him, and he's the kind of player who, like, you'd be thinking, oh no, you can get someone better, but he's the kind of player who they're hard to find with experience in the league and who has shown he can do it. I'd have him as a starter and very close to being the star category.
I'd agree. Actually, I would hang on to Lemar because he looks to be entering his prime after 2 years in Madrid where he looked just, he wasn't at the races, right? He just looked like he was an ill fit in the team. There were persistent rumors that Atletico were looking to sell him or at least loan him. Last year, he really breaks out. This year, he has taken his game to another level. The injuries have been a concern. His contract is winding down, but he's 26. He plays a premium attacking midfield position, and he's legitimately a really good player. So unless there's a wild offer that comes in for him, I would probably extend his contract and look to build around him. He's very good, and I did not imagine him becoming this good a couple of years ago.
No, it did. It looked like a lost cause there at one stage, but he definitely turned around, and he does have that ability to beat a player, that agility, to break lines. He's a brave passer. He can beat a player, and I think that's something that's really hard to find.
What would you do with Yannick Carrasco, Robbie? His contract is up in 2024. He's now 28 years old. Prime contributor last season as Atletico won La Liga. Without his peaking form in April and May, Atletico probably don't get over the line. This season has been a struggle. Simeone has played him in multiple positions, and his performances have been inconsistent, I think, to say the least. Would you sell high on him with his contract up in 2 years?
I probably would, yeah. But for the main reason being that if I was going to pick a new manager, the new manager would be playing a more kind of associative style. And I think that Yannick Carrasco is more individual, and and that's why he's so good right now for Atletico, is because they are crying out for players just to break line or to beat a player one on one. And that's obviously an amazing skill to have, but I just don't know if he would fit into a more kind of associative game that you probably, Atletico might try to do if they bring in a new manager. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That's a good one, yeah, but I don't even know what you'd get from, like, someone like Arsenal. Like, we were linked with him before.
Yeah,
see him kind of going there. But
you could probably at 28 years old, probably his last big opportunity to sell high on him. You could probably go for 30, 35 million. Like, Carrasco's a very good player. We just don't always see it. That's been the prime criticism of him throughout his career, is that when Carrasco is on, he is one of the most dangerous players in Europe. But when he's not on, he actively hurts the team. So it's a tough one. I think Carrasco, more than most other players, comes down to who the manager is going to be and how the manager is going to use him. If it's Simeone, then we kind of know how he's going to use him. If it's somebody else, then I think he could go. For now, it's a tough one. I think you would have another opportunity to sell in 2023 rather than right now. I'd probably keep him as a starter, but I don't think he's one of the star, most important players on the team. He's too inconsistent. Despite his obvious talent and his directness and his versatility, his decision-making just isn't always great. So I'd keep him as a starter with with one eye on the market to see if you can, at 28 or 29 years old, sell high on him.
Yeah, I guess that's what you would say about Carrasco, is that he can be a starter 100%, but if the proper offer came in, you would be more than willing to. He's not like a corner piece. A corner piece of this team. And yeah, I think that's something. And you're saying there about the inconsistency, which is true, and also his end product hasn't always been there.
Right, only got two goals.
Which could improve with better finishers inside in the box and kind of with clearer instructions to deliver crosses and stuff. But he doesn't really score that as many goals as you might like, and doesn't assist too much too often either.
Two more players for you. This one's a defender, and I had to weigh up which one I was going to talk about. I ended up going with Jose Jimenez. He's younger, and I think he is probably, in terms of his raw quality, a bit better than Stefan Savage. Jimenez signed an extension to 2025 over the summer, but he has once again dealt with injuries this season. He's made only 11 league appearances. Every season, it seems, he misses 10, 15, 20 games, equating to 40% of the season. He's never made 30 league starts or 40 appearances in a season for Atletico, and he joined the club in 2013. Jimenez is 27. He turned 27 today, on Thursday. Central defenders do take longer to develop. A lot of those guys don't hit their absolute peak until their late 20s, early 30s. So if you're Atletico, you may not want to miss the boat here, but Jimenez has never shown a capacity to be healthy despite his obvious talent. Do you sell him? Start him? Make him a star, a corner piece player?
Yeah, I would probably sell him, like, depending obviously what you're going to get from, but I think Jimenez is the kind of player who, we've got a saying in Ireland, if you're a reputation as an early riser, you can lay in bed all day. And I think that kind of goes, like, he had a reputation as being a young, up-and-coming talent, and after that, it doesn't really matter what you do, because he hasn't really done anything of note, if we're being honest. When he plays, he can be decent, but I mean, if you were looking at the money that Man City were offering for him last summer, I think it was, and the teams linked to them, you'd take their hand off for that now, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I would also say, like you mentioned there about the injuries, I would kind of be hesitant to criticize players in that, because I think Atletico have an issue there with injuries, and
sure,
that probably could be fixed if players went elsewhere. I think that has been a problem for Atletico for the last number of years. So. I would trust Simeone could get if his injuries would be fixed if he went elsewhere. But if you were getting 80, 70, 80, 90 million off Newcastle United for him, I think you'd have to take it.
Yeah, and that's economic. That's where I think you and I agree. With injuries, it's hard to. It's easy, rather, to kind of blame the player and the player only, but there are a lot of other mitigating factors, right? The football calendar is, frankly, ridiculous. These guys don't get any rest. They're traveling for club games, international break. They're playing for their countries. Jimenez has been a Uruguay regular since he was a teenager. Guys get hurt. It's part of the game. Some guys are more injury-prone than others. Sometimes it's biological. Other times it's in training and preparation. Profe Ortega has come under immense criticism this season and in past seasons for Atletico's injury record. It's kind of funny. The one year Atletico avoid major injuries, they go on to win the league. I don't think that's coincidence. Atletico have reverted to having a bunch of players in the infirmary, is the Spanish phrase, the infirmeria. They've had a bunch of players out this year, and the results have corresponded. That being said, Jimenez is talented enough and tantalizing enough to where someone could lodge a big offer for him. And if an offer like that comes in, like 60, 70 million, like if Newcastle are sufficiently frustrated in their Diego Carlos pursuit and pivot to someone like Jimenez, and they offer Atletico a whole bunch of money to sign him after signing Trippier, yeah, I'd probably sell. I'd sell high on him. Because you do risk him taking flight at another team with perhaps better physical preparation, but it hasn't worked here. He's the third captain and the leader of the defense, and he's only available for 60% of the season. That's having him and Savage for the medium to long term is simply not sustainable, because both those guys are really injury prone.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I think that especially you could probably get away with having Jimenez alongside someone like a Jules Koundé or maybe a ball-playing centre-half, but having him and Felipe in this form and Savage, you need to change it up. And I think they probably, if you're freshening up the defence and you're bringing in a new defender, you'd keep Jimenez and partner him with him, with the new guy who could play more football, maybe someone like a Pau Torres, for example. Pau Torres or Jimenez has a nice kind of ring to it. And if he could stay healthy, you would be comfortable keeping him, and you'd actually be comfortable maybe even putting him into the star category. But it would be conditional keeping him if a big offer came in.
And for Savage, he's only made 30-plus appearances in a league season twice in his 7 years with Atletico. Godín and Miranda very rarely missed games. Savage and him, as good as they may be, are the opposite. So that's the biggest reason why Atletico need to reinforce central defense this summer, because it's simply not a sustainable strategy to continue relying on those guys when Felipe and Hermoso are the backup options. The last guy that we're going to talk about, and then we're going to do a quick Valencia preview and get on out of here, João Félix, Robbie, a guy we have talked about quite a bit on the show. He's the club record transfer, 126 million euros. Very talented, super skilled, sensational skill, but there's a difference between being really talented and really good. João Félix is decidedly the former. He has made nearly 100 Atletico appearances. He's in 95 appearances, 22 goals. He's got only 3 goals in 19 appearances in all competitions this season. This is year 3 of his 7-year contract. The experiment so far, the gamble has not paid off. So even then, he's only 22. He's clearly extremely talented. And sooner or later, players that skilled and that talented, they're probably going to pop. They're probably going to become really good players. So would you stick with him, build around him as a cornerstone? Would you start him but leave open the possibility that he may not be a superstar Ballon d'Or type player? Or would you sell him now and just end the experiment right there?
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about this in terms of how hard it is to do what, say, the likes of Lionel Messi did. I think what Lionel Messi did, not saying João Félix is going to become him, but that's the hope. You're hoping he has 6 years of just pure, or for example, 6 or 7 years of just like 25, 30 goals a season, world class, top 5 Ballon d'Or voting. You know, that's what you're hoping. And like, it's amazing how difficult it actually is to do that. Like, Lionel Messi did it for so long. He did it for like 15 years at the very, very top. And it's like, you look at Antoine Griezmann, for example. Griezmann was considered to be one of the next Messi, or kind of not the next Messi, but like on the same level as him. And they were hoping he would get to a proper world class status, and he did there for about a minute, and then like it's so hard to sustain. Because situation changes, things change, and playing style, and you know, and it's just like the likes of João Félix, you'd be hoping you get 6 or 7 years out of him. But all these young players, we live in hope, obviously, and it's kind of like in the NFL and the NBA, the draft. I know I certainly do. I'm an optimist. When I think of a player, I think of the very, very best case scenario. I'm like, imagine what this is going to be. It's kind of like when you see games in hand, you automatically think, oh, 2 games in hand, that's 6 points.
Right.
But the reality is they never win those 2 games. Like, you know, so like João Félix, you're thinking what could be, and you're like, wow, like this could be something special. The chances of that happening, it's so, they're so slim that he's going to do what we expect him to do or what we hope he would do for 6 or 7 years. Now, it comes to the question of, and you mentioned it about being afraid to miss the boat on a guy. Like, whatever about Jimenez, whatever about guys, you'd be like, look, like we gave Jimenez a chance and we thought it was the right time to sell him for 60 million and that's it. No regret, that's it. Joe Felix is the one that you would be, like, you would be sick. Like, you'd be, right. You'd be, that's a kind of a franchise player for 10 years. That's he is a complete, like, the kind of player who could turn you from being fighting for the Champions League to proper La Liga favourites every year. So, in that sense, it would take a lot of money to sell him, but you also have to wonder, what's he thinking? Like, I mean, are you going to just give him the keys and say, look, this is going to be your team now, and that's it? Do you think he has that in him? Have you seen enough from him to say, yeah, he wants to, just not be let play properly under Simeone? And obviously, these are all the questions that have to go into that for Atletico Madrid. But, I'd probably give him 1 year under a new manager, and he's still young enough then to his value will still be fine, like Man City or Man United or maybe someone like Barcelona even would come in and buy him for 80-90 million. You've gotten 4 years out of him at that point. You've kind of proven that, look, this isn't going to happen, and you're still getting a large chunk of your money back. So yeah, I'd definitely keep him unless the offer from Newcastle is like 140-60 million or something. And so yeah, I'd keep him for another year and see what the new manager has in store, and kind of try to pick a manager that was going to be able to bring the best out of him and go from there. And then after, if it doesn't work after another year and a new manager, I'd probably be starting to look at my options at that point.
Complicating a possible transfer for Joao is that Atletico still owe payments to Benfica for him, because Atletico purchased him with a deal agreed in installments, and I believe they were 4 €30 million installments. There's still one more payment to be made there. So it makes sense why Atletico are coming out in the papers and saying Joao Felix is untouchable, we're not selling him, Simeone believes in him, etc. But you look at the evidence, the empirical evidence, you watch Atletico play and how Felix is, the team is not built around him. It never has been. In 2.5, now almost 3 years of Felix being here, coached by Diego Simeone, Cholo has never built the team around him for a meaningful period of time. There have been glimpses, there have been bursts, there have been periods of good form, and then he's gotten hurt, he's had a couple bad games, he's started on the bench, and the cycle repeats anew. It's a frustrating cycle, because the player is obviously very talented, but hasn't really put it all together. And I don't really think it's going to happen under Simeone. And the question is, like, does Simeone tell Atletico, look, I'm going to be here for the next 3 years, end of story, build the team to these specifications? If Cholo tells the club, I'm not leaving no matter what, then I think they probably should sell Joao this summer. Manchester City wanted him when Benfica didn't really put him on the market, but they were open to a sale a few years ago. City wanted him, Barcelona have wanted him. If Simeone says he's coming back for next season and beyond, then I think you do have to look to the market and say, if Man City, if you can pay us what we paid for him plus that final payment to Benfica, he's yours. But if Simeone leaves, if this season really does conclude in an absolute freefall and Simeone's position really does become untenable, then a new manager will relish the chance to build around him, most likely. Simeone does what he thinks is best for the team. Like, he's not trying to tank. He's not trying to actively hurt certain players. He's trying to win in the best way he can. And that his plan for winning does not always include building the attack around Joao Felix, when you and I have kind of thought, well, it should. It should. He's talented enough, and he was expensive enough to where you need to show his full arsenal, his full capabilities. They need to be on display. So with that uncertainty in mind, because, you know, we don't know what the rest of the season is going to hold and what the summer is going to hold, with that in mind, I would, the star/starter borderline right there, I wouldn't sell yet. I give it another year, irrespective of who the coach is. But Simeone or whoever replaces him has got to build the attack around him, because we need to see just how good he is. We see him feeding off scraps in some games. Like, he didn't play very well against La Real, but that's because he barely got the ball, and that's because opponents key in on fouling him a lot. Like, that is a key strategy to stopping him.
Yeah, so the problem is, he's too expensive to be just a starter, honestly. This is the problem.
Right.
He has to be either a star or else you're selling him. Because he was too expensive. You can't just have a 120 million euro starter on the team. And I think your point there about, when you look at, I just think the brain is a very interesting and confusing thing, because we're very optimistic, but at the same time we think what's happening now is going to continue to happen into the future. So you look at the likes of Vinicius, and I thought he was like this guy has no chance. I thought Real Madrid were after buying a dud and he wasn't going to be able to figure this out. And all of a sudden, look at him now. There's talk now that he's going to actually freeze the whole Mbappe. That's being mentioned, that maybe they don't need Mbappe. That's how good Vinicius has been.
Yeah.
It's very hard. You look at Joe and you're thinking there's no way back, but there's always a way back. And I think once he kind of gets his head straight and has a manager that believes in him, because the problem with Simeone's style is that if you do flourish at Atletico, you flourish because you're able to first and foremost fit into the system, and then you have the talent to excel within the limits of that system. So Griezmann, for example, who was kind of in a way born to be a star, an understated star.
Is there such a thing
for Atletico? Because he, first and foremost, he did all the work that Simeone needed him to do, and then within those confines, he was amazing. Likewise with someone like Diego Costa, who was like all fire and brimstone first, fit into the system, and then he was just absolutely class. Joe Felix needs to be the guy, regardless of the system. He needs to be the system, and that just, in fairness, it was never going to work for Simeone in that sense. I guess you could say Atletico were done in a way that Joao Felix had an excellent year. Benfica knew that they probably needed to sell him this summer, or that summer, the summer that he went, and this is before coronavirus and all that, so the money was there.
Right.
And Atletico just sold Griezmann, so they needed to buy a replacement. And yeah, they bought Joao Felix, and it didn't feel like rushed because it made sense to us, but at the same time it didn't really make any sense on paper, at least.
So over the summer, the club is going to have to make a choice here. Is it going to be the club record transfer, or is it going to be the coach who's been here for 10 years? Both sides, I think, have a decent argument for their case, and we're going to find out. We're still going to have plenty to talk about this season, even if Atletico are only alive in two competitions and only just alive in those competitions. There will be plenty to discuss, and there are still a lot of games to go as things move quickly in football. More than in other sports, things move very quickly. Sensations and vibes change very fast, and before the upcoming international break, Atletico have another chance to get back on a winning path, unlikely as it may seem. they have Valencia at the Wanda Metropolitano on Saturday night, an old school league fixture. Atletico are unbeaten in 14 against Los Che. That may or may not be a club record. I'll have to check on that stat, but it's been a long time since Valencia have beaten Atletico, over 7 years. Valencia drew 1-1 at Mestalla on Wednesday against Sevilla. That's a big result for for both teams. For Sevilla, they missed a big chance to draw closer to Real Madrid atop the table. And Valencia are only 4 points adrift of Atletico. Atletico do have that game in hand, but games in hand are deceptive. So a Valencia win on Saturday, which doesn't strike me as unlikely, that would put them within a point of Atletico with the all-important head-to-head advantage. Robbie, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I said it in the last pod before the Real Sociedad game that I wouldn't back Atletico Madrid right now to beat anyone. I would say a draw is probably the fair result. I don't know if Valencia's Bordalas and Valencia have figured out yet what exactly it is that he is asking them to do. And at times it clicks, and then the other times it just doesn't. It looks like they're a team of individuals. So, and Bordalas needs, as he said earlier in the season, they have to leave their soul out on the field every game. If I know Bordalas the way I think I know Bordalas, he is going to make sure his team do go out and play and leave their soul on the pitch in that game, because they can smell blood, and that's what Bordalas the teams are good at. And also, I wouldn't be betting on Atletico responding, because we've been waiting now for them to respond after a bad result, after an embarrassing result, after criticism when the chips are down, and oh, here we go, Atletico are going to come out all guns blaze. And I don't think that's ever going to happen. We like this season anyway, and we've been waiting for it, and we can keep saying it. Oh, they have to respond in some way. I don't think they're going to. So I'd say, given Atletico's talent, they'll scrape a draw, but it'll be hard work against a fired up Valencia.
A well drilled and definitely amped up Valencia. They won't have Jose Gaya in this game on Saturday. He was sent off at the end of the Sevilla game, so he won't be available. But Gonzalo Guedes is in excellent form. He will be there. Hugo Duro, who scored twice at Mestalla in that bonkers 3-3 draw that was more damaging than I think we realized, Hugo Duro is going to be there. And yeah, this Valencia team under Bordalas, they look a bit like his Getafe teams, with a bit more quality. They had only about 30% possession against Sevilla, but they are tough sons of guns. This will be a pretty foul-heavy game, a defensive game. Atletico are going to have possession, and Bordalas is going to task Atleti with breaking down the Los Che's defense, and we'll see how that goes. Again, a 14-game unbeaten run for Atletico against Valencia. That dates back to 2014. A win here would be pretty big for Atleti, the only substantive goal this season, barring a miracle Champions League run, is finishing in the top four. You have Betis already winning this week. Real play. Who does Real have this weekend? Oh, they got Getafe on Sunday, so that should be a win for them. It's Getafe at Real Arena. So this is the quote unquote title race that we're looking at. These five teams fighting for two spots in third place and fourth place. And Atletico at home against Valencia. In the past, I'd say it's a win, but given the circumstances and the sensaciones around the team now, as they have been most of the season, it's tricky. Bordalas' team is going to smell blood. I think you're absolutely right. And a draw, I think, is probably the safe result to pick.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And I wouldn't be venturing any further than a draw. Definitely not, Bob.
Well, all right. We have been going for quite a while here. I did not realize we had been doing this for over an hour. This might be breaking Colchonero Chat records here, Robbie, in terms of the duration.
Breaking Colchonero Chat rules. Call the podcast police. We've broken the law.
The podcast enforcement agency.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't catch us here. But that'll do it for this edition of the show, and we will be back this weekend to discuss Valencia and Atletico. I want to thank my guest, Robbie Dunn, for joining me today. Thank you, Robbie.
No problem whatsoever.
And keep it on Into the Calderon, our social media, and our Patreon, patreon.com/ColchonerChat, for all the goodies associated therein. We will be back this weekend to discuss the Valencia game, and then an international break. We'll have coverage planned for you there. Until next time, adios.